This episode is brought to you by Bran Flakes, the cereal of Phil. Woo! Good morning and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I'm Phil.
Phil the Squire. We are so glad you have decided to join us today as we explore scripture. Hey, this very special episode, I am purposely not letting Phil talk.
I am going to let that go, Lucas.
All right, so I have no idea what we're talking about today.
That's right.
Zero idea. So Phil,
that's exactly right,
is going to tell me later. I do know the Gen Z word of the week. I know the dad story. I know what's going on at the beginning. You know what's going on in the middle.
Yeah, there's
no one knows what's happening at the end.
Well, I actually know what's happening. I know what we're going to talk about. I have something burning in my heart to speak about culture.
I really hope it's not Captain America and Winter Soldier.
It's not.
I forgot.
No, it's not.
I didn't watch it yet.
No. But, hey, so here we are, Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. And this is kind of a special episode. It's the first one we have ever videoed.
We're in Studio C.
We are in Studio C, which is by far the coolest studio.
Yeah, this is much better. You know, Studio A got cleaned up. Studio B is a Sunday school room, but Studio C is a real studio.
It is actually a studio.
Yeah.
You're probably going to see some posts, photos, maybe even clips of this podcast in moving pictures.
Yeah, if we say something super quotable and awesome, we'll have in full living color.
Yeah, or do something really embarrassing.
Ooh, yeah, that's going to happen for sure. Phil, with you and I...
Something embarrassing is going to happen.
Edit it out of the episode, put it on the Facebook. So...
Yeah, so,
perfect.
Oh, you know what we forgot to say?
Good morning, and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil.
No, we said that the listeners forgot to say
that. The listeners forgot to say that.
You guys
I forgot
fault.
To open the little listener window and let their voices through. So I had a friend say, hey, man, I was so sad that I missed your live podcast recording. I was like, yeah, you really missed out. And Jace, I don't know if you know about it, but that was it.
That was the no. There was
actually a little more
things. Yeah.
So we have the thing, the contest, right?
Yeah.
Hey, so do we know about the contest yet? Did we have a winner?
Did anybody win last week?
I don't know.
Whose voice did you play?
If I tell, then it ruins the contest.
Okay,
it's too late.
I have no idea.
You have lost your opportunity to win, Scott.
Scott, I don't think he put. I'll check. I'll check after this. If he did, I'll bring him a sticker. So
bring him a sticker anyway, because he won the lottery of me picking his voice.
Hey, do you want to go ahead and play that right now for next week?
No.
Okay, you'll play it later. See, this is why you know what's happening. Hey, Phil.
Oh, you know, I can play it anytime I want, can I?
Yeah.
Because I'm not actually going to play it.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it in later.
Throw it in over
this
voice cast.
I don't think I can throw
right
it in over the music, though.
Okay.
So, anyway, but here we are. Lucas doesn't know what we're going to talk about.
No, but I
know what we're going to talk about.
Do know that the first thing we always talk about, Phil.
Yes.
What's the best thing you had to eat this week?
I'm blank. What's the best thing you had to eat, Lucas?
Okay, so last night we went to Lana Thai down on 71st Memorial and had some pad thai and some curry, and it was incredible. Like, so good.
Pad thai and curry.
I could go every day if it weren't so expensive. So
yeah. I've never been there.
Amazing.
I don't know.
Do you like Thai food, Phil?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've had some Thai food that was really good. And then I've had Thai food that I was like, oh,
okay. Well, this is top notch. I love Thai, so I can say I've had some decent Thai and I've some really good. And this is top two. This is one of the top two places I've been for.
All right,
so
Lana Thai, and I've heard really good things about that place.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I personally have never been there.
A little pricey, but really, really good. So
yeah.
We'll have to take you and Bronwyn.
Yeah. So the best thing I had to eat this week was I don't know.
Because there were too many good things or too many bad.
No, I actually was going to talk about something and I can't remember what it was, but my wife made a pork shoulder or a pork roast.
Yeah.
It was so delicious and so tender. And I don't know what she did to it. Oh, you know, she made it in the Instant Pot. Do you guys have an Instant Pot Pot? It's a thing.
We do the air fryer. So those are, I feel like those two are the same thing, but like. Both
came out around
super
the same time.
Convenient kitchen appliances.
Well, the Instant Pot really, really nailed the pork, whatever it was.
I have
delicious.
A question. So your wife is from New Zealand, correct?
Well, their parents are from New Zealand.
So what I was going to ask, when she cooks, like, does she do some New Zealand recipes and stuff?
Like, yeah, occasionally, yeah.
Okay.
We have some things that we eat, like pavlova. That's a dessert that is from New Zealand. You know what that is?
No idea.
You know what pavlova is? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hey, tag us in a post if you know what pavlova is and tell us, but I'm going to tell you.
Yes, so send me you're a gonna picture be cheating. Of pavlova.
First person, send Lucas a picture of pavlova or put it on our Facebook page or something like that. But pavlova is like meringue. It's sweet. It's crispy. It's creamy on the inside. It's got fruit and real cream. It's just amazing. And we first had it in New Zealand when we were first married.
Yeah.
We went there and that's good stuff.
When are you bringing that to me? When is that coming, Phil?
Sometime.
My wife in Tulsa for a little bit longer, so.
You know, my wife doesn't cook a lot of New Zealand stuff, but she does some things that are British. She eats with a knife. Do you eat with a knife? Like a fork and a knife. You sort of scoop the food onto the fork with the knife.
Well, that's what my dad was telling. So in Australia,
right,
when he went and visited, he said they'd made fun of them because they would use the fork in their right hand and then they'd switch the fork and knife, cut with the right hand, right, and then switch it back. So
right,
so
no. They British eat two-handed.
Yes.
Yeah, the fork is always in one hand and the knife in the other.
Which kind of plays into the whole America's better thing. We can do it one-handed. We can eat one-handed, right?
We're one-handed eaters, yeah.
We're one-handed
eaters. Yeah, the fast food, hamburgers, all that stuff.
And we drive on the right side of the road. So
yeah,
take that, Britain. America.
Well, there you go.
To our Russian listeners.
Yeah, we're
better than you, too.
Let's see how many groups we can alienate right here on the podcast in one episode.
Hey, I'm a person of peace, man. I love you as my Christian brother and sister, but as my country rival, I love you, too. I love you, too.
But we're better, right?
That's
I don't know how that
you're
works.
The squire.
Yeah. So, is it time for some OJ? I'm a little.
Let's get you some
thirsty.
OJ.
I'm a little
Phil.
Parched.
Let's get you some OJ, some orange juice. Are you ready, Phil?
Gen Z word of the week.
Bet.
It means I agree.
Final answer.
I think that's what it means. It means like I agree.
Hey, Phil, you got it right.
Yes.
You got it right. Right. So it means I agree. So like it's kind of like yes. So like hey, I'll see you later, and you're like bet. Or it can also be like if I chat like hey, you never show up to football games. You're like bet. Like you'll see. I'll be. You know, it's like challenging my thing that you're never doing that. You know,
okay.
Bet. Yeah. So it's kind of like a double thing. It also is a gambling issue that many Americans suffer from. And if you need help,
think that's the same thing.
It's the same word.
It is the same word.
So
that's
I just want to make sure we're putting it
bet.
Out
there. Yeah, bet. I got one. I totally
I'm so
that.
Proud of you, Phil.
You know what my fear is, Lucas, right now? Is that people now are thinking, man, Phil is so cool. But
I don't know if anyone's ever thought that in their life, Phil.
No, but now they are.
You're so, if
See,
you were
now
already,
I got this with another thing that I'm
cooler,
so cool.
If you were cooler, you'd be twins. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, so, but I actually think if they searched back in the archives of Second Breakfast of Lucas and Phil, they'd find that we'd already done that work.
I was going to say, after I said it, I was like, I think we've done this one before. Bet. Anyway.
I think we did that one.
Well, you want some coffee?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a time. Do we have an actual dad story?
Phil,
you know, we had a life update with Lucas.
Yeah.
Life update
with Lucas.
Thank you. Good
All
job.
All of our things follow the same general tune, Phil. It's the same every time.
So we had a life update, and then we had what was sort of a
dog story
triple
with Lucas.
Dog escape story.
Yeah. So I was actually going to give the next saga of the dog stories with Lucas because I think.
But it's got to be a dad story. Is it a dog dad story?
All right. So last week we kind of got in this segment. So last, I think it was Wednesday. So after this, so we found Wookie.
Yeah.
Right? And she's coming.
Which is an amazing story.
Right. Super cool. So Tori goes on Facebook.
I drove by your house. I noticed all the boards piled up by the gate.
Right.
It's like, they're not getting out again.
Yeah. She gets that. She has like a 5-minute punch card when she goes, you got to be back soon. So she can't be on Facebook while pooping. She's got to just do it quick and get back in. Anyway.
That was so bizarre.
Anyway, so Tori goes on to Facebook in order to go ahead and put that we found her and let everybody know. So she gets on this Midtown Lost Dogs page, Lost Dogs and Cats and Pets page, and sees this picture of a lost boxer. So she's like, oh, that kind of looks like that. It's Ranger.
It is.
It's so someone has. So here's what happened. Because Tori messaged and was like, I think that's our dog. And the timeline lines up. So what happened? They found Ranger at the flea market in October, which is when we lost him. So probably the next day after we lost Ranger, they found him at the flea market, took him home and like put a new collar on him, bathed him or whatever, fed him, kept him with their little French bulldog.
Yeah.
And so then fast forward a ways to now.
So when did they start feeling guilty and put him on the lost dogs in Midtown Tulsa?
No, they put him on there because they lost him. He got out of the gate, and so they lost the dog again. And so Tori messaged him and was like, if you find, like, that's our dog. And they're like, well, if we find him, we'll let you know and stuff. So last night at like 11 o'clock, we get a call like, hey, we found him. Like, if you want to come get him. Also, could you, like, take care of this other dog because the homeowner's not home right now.
What?
So right now in my backyard, I've got Harley, I've got Wookie, I've got Ranger, and I've got some random French bulldog named Chloe who just doesn't have a home right now. So
the homeowner. Now, that's the whole thing gets very, very strange right
weird,
now.
It's weird, man. It's weird.
So they found the dog.
Took him home.
Brought him home. Well, just, this is our dog now.
They adopted him, yeah.
Adopted him.
I don't know the full story, but I know they comment. Took him. No comment. Yep. Took my dog, loved him.
And then that's not even their house. What?
So the lady.
That's in October.
In October.
So their house, their long-term house sitting or something like that? Anyway.
Well, no. They like, she's gone right now somewhere else. And the dogs get out. So they ask if they can like come and watch the dog until she gets, I think she's in the hospital or something. So like, just crazy, crazy deal. So shout out to, I think the people who found the dogs, his name was Jose, super sweet guy. Shout out to him.
Shout out Jose.
Helped me and, showed me his dogs too. Super cool guy. So
that's,
see, I told you it
so
needed
bizarre.
To be dog stories with Lucas. One
it
more
is
week.
Dog stories
so
with Lucas.
So next week, I can't promise anything, but I'm going to say we're going to go back to dad stories with Lucas. I'll give you some more cute stories about Naomi.
Okay.
Her first egg hunts this weekend. So, you know, that could be some really cute stuff.
There could be some good material this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
But yeah, Ranger's back.
Ranger, that's
what?
I'm just blown away.
It's crazy, man.
I thought
Praise
Ranger
the Lord.
Was a goner.
I did too.
Man.
All right, Phil, well, we've come to the part of the show.
Yes.
Where you tell me what the heck we're doing.
So we're going to talk about, so I was reading a thing this morning. I was looking at Amazon, and I found a title to a book that I thought looked interesting. And I started reading the reviews to this book, and one of the reviews accused the guy of being a Pelagianist. You have any idea what that is?
Pelagianist?
Pelagianism.
No, bring it on, Phil.
So he actually accused him of being a semi-Pelagianist.
Yes, we don't want inaccuracy.
I don't want to accuse
we
the guy
of
something
he didn't
say. We
do know that our listeners are avid readers of Amazon reviews.
Yeah, right. They're
of random books.
So the dude that... I honestly think he said his comment was your semi-Pelagianism is showing. And I'm just like, dude, you just wrote that in the review so you'd look smart. So, but you did look very smart because I then had to Google Pelagianism.
All right.
So Pelagian or Pelagius was a guy in the 4th century or so who taught that original sin did not taint human nature and therefore... all believers had the ability to obey all the commands of God perfectly, and everyone was required to live a sinless life.
Okay.
Okay, so basically what it does, and the way that this is described, is that Pelagianism denies the doctrine of original sin.
Okay, so which, sinful nature, essentially.
Sinful nature, yeah. It
no
says
exists.
That because we weren't born sinful, that then when... So the other phrase was this, that God could not command believers to do the impossible, so therefore it must be possible for us to obey every command of God.
Hmm.
Right? So.
Here we are.
So here we are. So to me, this brings up some really interesting questions because, A, you know, the first thing is we've talked about this. We talked about a couple of weeks ago being poor in spirit. We have to understand, I mean, one of the really basic doctrines of the faith is that, first of all, Pelagianism was officially declared a heresy by the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. And so, I mean, it's not held, although it's kind of a popular idea right now that we're not really all that bad, right?
I think some like progressive Christianity does follow that kind of mold. Like we're you know, we sin, but but everybody does it. Everybody's
doing
it. It's like
sea
do. Everybody's doing it.
God understands, right?
Yeah, he gets it. He gets me. He made me. He gets me.
Right. Which is, it's kind of a popular thought. But I believe that leads you to frustration, thinking, oh, I can do this. I'm good. I can do this.
I mean, I think it's going to lead to one of two different areas, right? Which I think a lot of people get stuck in anyway, which is you're going to have a big head and be super prideful, and it's all about you and your ability to be sinless and perfect.
Right.
Or the opposite, if I think that I have the ability in my own to do that and I'm not, obviously I'm a complete failure and not worth saving.
Right.
So I think you can come to two different areas, both of which are rooted in pride. And yet you come to this end where either way, you're not where you need to be.
Yeah.
Right? I think you, on one side, you don't recognize that you're poor in spirit.
Right.
And on the other side, you recognize that you are so poor and so depraved in spirit that you can't do anything about it.
Right. You see, you get to this point where you're like, wait, I thought if I'm supposed to be able to do this, then I must be the worst human who was ever born. Because if you get this idea that everyone's supposed to be able to do everything that we're commanded to do, then, it's supposed to be easy. Then if I can't do it, then I am really screwed. I am really bad. I'm the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low. Everyone else is better than me. And
Well, I think, so we worked with a guy, and he had a belief that once you were a believer, you could no longer knowingly sin. And so if you did knowingly sin, you could lose your salvation. You could give up your salvation, is how he phrased it. Because he said, no one can take you from God's hand, but you could take yourself, which I don't believe. But this is what he was saying. And
if you knowingly sinned, then you were taking yourself out of the Father's hand.
So, but I immediately, when hearing that, think of David.
Yeah.
And so David knowingly sinned, right?
He
knowingly slept with another man's wife. He knowingly sent that guy to be murdered, and he knowingly lied about it.
Yeah.
And so David did all three of these things. And yet we see, obviously David went through punishment for this, but God's hand didn't leave David.
No.
God didn't stop loving David, and God didn't omit him from the line. It's not oh yeah, never mind, David, you're done.
Right.
And so God brought David back, which is where all of these things we see time and time again. God purposely puts in Scripture men and women in the Bible who are not perfect after following Christ.
Right. Well, and then if you look at the person in 1 Corinthians who is called out for this horrible willful moral sin, this was the person who, I think the phrase is, he has his father's wife. This guy was basically having an affair with his stepmom, okay? Mm-hmm. So it was like just a wicked kind of twisted thing, which I know in the world a lot of people go, oh, that's cool. I actually saw a TV show that, where the dad brings home this sort of young trophy wife, and she ends up with one of the sons, like, oh, this is 1 Corinthians all over again. So,
for back in 1 Corinthians, he said, even the rest of the city wouldn't do that.
That's right. But now it's almost kind of celebrated, that kind of really wild behavior.
Yeah.
But here's what Paul says about that guy who was so bad. He says, I want you to turn him over to Satan for what? For the destruction of
his
body.
So that his soul may be saved.
In the last day. That's right. So that guy wasn't even plucked out of the Father's hand. His name was not blotted off the list. He was obviously a believer who had gotten way, way, way down the road of sin.
Right.
And God wasn't going to recant on his choice to save that man, which is... So you were talking about this person that you knew that believed that you would lose your salvation. Was there more you were going to say about that?
Oh, I just think it lines up similarly, and then over time in studying Scripture with them and looking, and I know our pastor at that point, they would meet together for hours going over this, and eventually this guy relented and changed his belief, which is huge. But it just reminded me of that as we're talking about, what is it called, Plegianism?
Plegianism? Pelagianism. It's P-E-L-A-G-I-U-N-S. Pelagius, I think, is the guy's name. Okay. So Pelagian would be Pelagianism.
Yeah. So it's funny because I think our theology, right, of identity in Christ could be twisted to be Pelagianism-esque.
Exactly, which is why I wanted to bring it up, because you know I'm obsessed with identity in Christ. So what are we going to say in that
vein? Well, I think because, you know, we talk about when you come to know Christ, right, your identity is immediately changed and you are perfect.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But then we've also talked about that's justification.
Right.
And then sanctification is the lifetime it takes you to learn to live in that. Right. But I think sometimes it gets twisted, and that's why really careful in teaching this that we teach it accurately.
Yes.
And that we talk about that it's not that you are perfect in the sense that you will never sin again.
Right.
You're perfect in the sense that God has made you perfect. Your identity, who you are, is no longer that sin.
Right.
Now, sometimes we choose to pick up our corpse and dance with it once more.
Yeah, right.
But that doesn't mean that that's who we are.
Right.
And that is the empowerment to believers, is when you do fall back into sin, knowing that that doesn't make you an addict, or that doesn't make you once again a liar, or that doesn't make you once again whatever you were before. It means that you are still a child of God. You are beloved by Him. Your image is made in His. You are Christ's.
Yes. And you've been recreated now in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness.
Exactly.
Which is even, you know, even a greater, a deeper, a more complete rebirth. And this is what, so I wanted to bring this up. I thought, I had two thoughts in regard to identity in Christ. And when I read this definition of Pelagianism, which says, we're okay. You know, or it actually doesn't say, it's okay if we sin. Because Pelagius taught that you had no excuse for sin. You must be perfect. Mm. So it's a very interesting kind of thing. And
I don't know if he and I would have gotten along great. Probably, yeah, we didn't probably speak the same language. So
probably not. Yeah. So in the definition to this, there's this idea that there are only two possible solutions. Either mankind is forever sinful, or mankind was never sinful. You know what I'm saying?
So just so I get this straight, he's omitting Christ as the great change on mankind.
I'm right?
Skipping to your point here, I'm sure.
You're completely skipping to my point.
And but I think that's the deal.
But go back and explain it again, because I think it's really easy for somebody to miss that. If you say that we don't have a sin nature, then, you know, there's a lot of different roads you can go there.
Yeah. Well, I think he's definitely just, he's saying it's either A or B.
Right.
Which he would be right if it weren't for Christ. He's saying either you have a sinful nature or you never have a sinful nature.
So you either don't have a sinful nature and you're going to be all right, or you have a sinful nature
and you're never going to be all right.
Yeah, you're doomed.
It's like he's saying it's impossible.
Which
I don't know about you, but I know my God
does. Yes.
Yes, he sees impossible and he says, bet.
Let's do that. Right.
He says bet.
Yeah, right. Yes. It's the Gen Z God of the week. Is that right? I don't think
that was heresy, Phil. That was heresy. My God never changes. So anyway, it was using Gen Z words to say real theology.
That God would actually say, yes. So yeah, so God looks at the impossible and he does that. And that's, so I thought, man, this is like a form of Christian atheism or Christian deism, where if you look at mankind and you say mankind is sinful or depraved, and then you treat the believer as though he's sinful or depraved, you got to go, wait. What did Jesus do then? You understand what I'm saying? If Jesus didn't do anything, well, of course, everybody is sinful and depraved. But Jesus came in and he said that we would be born again. He said that he would take away the sins of the world. He said that, and then I'll say this 1,000 times because it's really true that the teachings of Jesus didn't end with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
No.
The apostles were just continuing the teaching of Jesus, and it was coming from the Holy Spirit, John 14, that, you know, the another comforter just like me. One version even says another Savior, which is, I thought, wow, that's an interesting translation. You threw that out there, did you? But Jesus really is saying the Holy Spirit is the Spirit, is me.
Right.
You know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, they are one. So It's that is the teaching of Jesus still. So Jesus' teaching continued through Paul. He says that we become new creations in Christ. We become the righteousness of God, that we die to sin.
Right. Crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but he who lives within me. So there's the question, so many verses we could throw out there that prove that or state this.
Yes. So the question to this either or person or this either or idea becomes, if you can only either be sinful or not sinful, what about Jesus? What about crucified with Christ? If you were a sinner, if you were depraved and lost and dead in sin, and then God saved you, and you're still the same thing as you were before, what died?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Who died?
Yeah, and more, what is the need for a Savior at that point? If I can just flip a switch and go, I've never had a sin nature, I'm fine, and I will stop sinning at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
It's, like you said, what died, what needs to die?
Yeah.
And if you believe that you're already perfect, you don't need anybody to die for you.
Which I don't know how you get to that point. I guess you can say, well, the things that I do, the things that I think are not really sinful, you can just excuse everything you do and say and think and feel, I guess.
I
don't know how that works, but
I think this is an extreme case of bad theology, right? Well, and hear me out here, because
I think it's common just to sort of passively think this way.
Exactly. And I think what it is it's, you know, in his era, right, they're going to put him on a stake and burn him for heresy.
Maybe so, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. They were going to do something a little more brutal.
I think he was already dead when they finally called him heresy.
Okay, good.
I think. I don't know.
For his sake, I guess. No, but in modern days, usually what that just means is, well, we're just going to form a new denomination and we'll be a different church than you. So it is, you have to be really careful on some of the stuff that's based on one verse.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you have to be really, really careful whenever it's just like, well, Paul said one time this thing, or like a lot of guys get stuck in 1 John when they're reading it and they don't take and read the scripture as one word from God. And they're like, well, actually, if you look at this verse, then I can discount all of these other things that Jesus said.
Absolutely.
You have to be careful of that. Right. Yeah. And there's like, God calls us to be zealous, right? He calls us to be passionate, and he says we're not going to fit it in culture. But you have to understand as well that like, when studying scripture and you're like, oh man, I've got something new that no one has ever seen before. No, right?
It feels like it sometimes because we tend to sort of talk about the things that everyone understands and talk around the things no one understands, like 1 John. You know, where in 1 John, it's classic example, 1 John 1:9, like the most popular scripture for Christians, you know, that if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the... If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The very next verse, chapter 2, verse 1 says, but I write these things to you so that you will not sin. So we like to sort of skate around the things. We're like, I don't know what that means, not sin. What does that mean?
I'm going to skip this one.
I'm going to skip this verse.
We're going to teach over on Philippians again. I can do all things through Christ.
Exactly, right.
Go back to the easy stuff.
Yeah, so if we find something, we can find something and think, oh, that's brand new. It's not brand new, but sometimes we don't talk about it.
Yeah, and I think it's this balance, the line. So just for our listeners, I'm not saying like, don't read scripture, you need someone to interpret. No.
Oh, boy.
I'm saying, get into God's word, seek him, but have wise counsel too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and when you find something that you don't understand or seems a little bit odd, talk to somebody about it. Talk to your pastor. This is why it's so important to be in a Bible-believing church, is so you have those people around you that know and can help to explain and teach and guide you as you study scripture on your own and you learn to eat on your own.
Yeah.
Because you're going to run into stuff. And if you're truly studying scripture, and like yesterday I asked the question as I was reading in Ezekiel, what does this teach me about God? This is where God's telling Ezekiel, hey, walk around naked for a while, shave your hair and beard, spread it in 3 different parts of the city, burn a little bit of it, and then I want you to lay on your side for 390 days, cook your food on poop, and then roll over and do it again for 40 days on the other side.
That sounds like a great, Sunday school retreat.
Hey, talk about the crappy Christian life, Phil.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, it's really easy to read something like that and be like, God's a big old meanie,
right?
And yet when we study and we look and I ask myself, what does this teach me about God? Knowing he's good, mm-hmm. I start to see these things.
Yeah.
And if you're confused, what does this teach me about God? And the answer you get is he's a big old meanie head or some relative thing that like, I'm perfect.
Right.
Go talk to Wise Counsel about that. If you don't know who Wise Counsel is, I would encourage you to reach out to us and we can help find you that Wise Counsel near you to where you can talk to them.
Yeah, and also I think the other thing in reading the scripture is, number one, to have a healthy suspicion of your own conclusions.
Right.
You know, think, well, if I think this is what this means, well, okay. But then I think in Luke, I don't remember exactly the chapter and verse, but so after the resurrection, the road to Emmaus, mm-hmm. Jesus takes the guys through the whole scripture, the Jewish scripture at that time, to show them himself in the scriptures. Hmm. And so we should always be, like you said, what does it teach me about God? We should also be looking for the face of Jesus.
Amen.
In the Old Testament. And if you read the Old Testament as if the New Testament hasn't happened yet, you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
So as if Jesus hasn't come, you're going to miss it.
It's like God invented literary devices like foreshadowing. Or that Jesus existed for all of time. You know, that too.
Right. Yeah, it's like that. It's like he was always trying to peek his head through in the Old Testament as he was writing through those authors.
And you think too, like, what was it like in the furnace with Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego? You know, like they're all chilling in there. He's like, hey, what's up, dudes?
And they're like,
it's kind of toasty.
Yeah. So do they know who he is? Because the scripture says it was someone like a son of man. So they had some kind of knowledge.
I would think, you know, they were walking with the Lord at that point, right? That they were seeking him. And I know we've never seen Christ face to face.
Right.
And I would imagine when we get to heaven, we're going to know exactly who he is.
Yeah, you know who he is.
Yeah, it's going to be so easy to tell because we know him.
Yeah.
Right? We know his voice. We know his face. Even though we've never seen him, you may have never audibly heard him, but we know him. And that's why it's so important walking with him daily.
Yeah.
And with my students a lot, we talked about calm a couple weeks ago at our event. And my biggest thing was like, if you're building your fortress at the time of trouble, you're not going to know.
It's too late.
Right? If you're trying to hear God's voice for the first time, it's going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah.
But if you are seeking him daily, you're going to know his voice. And you're going to be able to hear him in those stressful times or those times where you have to think on a minute and you have to make quick snap decisions to figure out how to get out of something or get into something, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
You know, you need to know God. And that's completely off topic right now, but know God.
No, I think that's really on topic because I think the thing we're talking about, and I was going to bring up, you know, the big question that a lot of people will think of when you talk about this whole idea of, oh, we're perfect, and do we have the ability to be sinless? You know, I think you have the ability not to sin as a believer because Christ is in you and he's sinless.
Yeah.
Does that mean you'll reach sinless perfection? Well, you know, you could go into that, and that's not really even a question. First of all, sinless perfection means you never sinned, and that ship has sailed, folks. You know what I'm saying? So now I know that the doctrine of sinless perfection means something different than that. You sort of graduate from sin. But listen, the point of all that is that the issue is knowing him.
Yeah.
The issue is not knowing stuff. The issue is not answering questions and ideas and queries and getting all the details ironed out. We will not have all the details ironed out until, as 1 Corinthians says, we know as we are fully known. And that's after we leave this place, this life.
Which is where I think I fall, you know, is it possible for someone to become sinless here on earth? You know, if we come to a point where you're not sinning at all, it's possible.
Sure.
But will it happen for most people? I would say no. And especially if you're one of our listeners sitting there thinking like, I've done it. Like, if you're thinking you've done it, you probably haven't.
You're probably doing it right now.
It takes a lot of like real introspective looking and looking to God and then allowing him to show you different parts of your life. And it takes a long time.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it's just like, we've got to be careful because is it possible? Yes. But is it for most people, are they going to achieve that here on earth? Probably not.
Yeah, and I would say that if you talk about achieving sinless perfection, you're missing the boat anyway, because it's not something anyone would achieve.
No.
I think it might be something that happened to someone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As they know God and as they walk with God.
If the point
like
is to
Enoch
know God.
Walked with God and God took him. You know, I think that happened to Enoch. He didn't go, I'm going to walk with God and then he's going to take me. He wasn't trying to achieve something.
Yeah.
You're trying to achieve something.
It's like
you're out.
It's like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, right?
Exactly.
If Charlie had been trying to win the Chocolate Factory the whole time, he never would have done it.
Exactly.
But he just proved what kind of guy he was. So it's
yeah.
That's not because
he was the only one that didn't really want the Chocolate Factory.
He's the only one that didn't screw up.
Yeah. And honestly, it's kind of a perfect analogy because if in your heart you're wanting to be the best Christian you know, stop that. Just want Jesus.
Want to know.
You know, want to know
God.
Him.
Want to know.
Want more of God. Him. And if you stop sinning for a week, a month, a year, the rest of your life, cool. You won't even notice and you won't tell anybody.
And you won't care.
And you won't teach it. Oh, you can be sinless.
Yeah.
It'll just happen. So
to know God and to make him known.
Yeah. So, that's not something we could seek. All we can seek is to know him. So, is it time for a minute of culture?
Well, do we have some oatmeal?
I think that is the oatmeal.
Yeah.
I think the oatmeal, I feel like our oatmeal every week ends up being know God, seek God.
Know God,
know
seek
him
God. Love God, love others.
Personally. I don't know. Do you think there's something we should use as kind of a hard truth to go along with this?
I think
we did it because we talked about how to really study God. When you study the word, be humble and seek wise counsel. I think that's it, Lucas.
Yeah.
That is our oatmeal.
Yeah.
We had oatmeal. We didn't even know it.
I think it does come back down to if the point of your relationship with God is anything but to know him and make him known.
Yeah.
Right. That's you've missed the boat.
You're off of true north.
You're not at the second breakfast table. You're at some other table and I wouldn't want to eat at that table. So
I don't know what that has to do with anything, Lucas.
Anyway. Okay, so culture, you have something burning hard. You
something
have a burning desire
in my heart to talk about our culture, and it's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. I'm not curmudgeon-y today.
Bring it on.
I'm celebrating something in our culture that has happened. It happened years ago. But I didn't really know about it until fairly recently. And I thought about it today. I thought, this is such a wonderful thing that has happened. And you probably already know this, Lucas, and our listeners may already know this, but I found out fairly recently, my daughter revealed to me, she said, Dad, did you know Alexa can fart?
What?
Did you not know this, Lucas?
No, I had no
Alexa.
Idea.
Oh, I have revealed something to you. Lucas, Alexa can fart.
Here, let's try something real quick, Phil.
What?
Alexa, fart. At somebody's house
right
now.
At someone's house right now.
Hopefully this is
okay.
happening.
Okay, here's the best thing you can do. So my wife teaches piano lessons in our house, and we have an Echo Dot sitting on the piano.
Oh.
You can also say to Alexa, Alexa, fart in 15 minutes.
Hey, did you know, I know with Alexa and with Google, you can also, from a separate one, tell it to do something in another room.
Yeah.
And you can also broadcast. So
yeah,
I've never made Google fart or burp, but I may have.
I don't know
have,
if Google can.
I have.
Try it.
I have burped in my wife's ear from a different room using Google.
Through the Google Home.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Alexa also can fart like 100 different ways, and she has names for all of them.
Oh.
She says, you know, here's a squeaky one, or I don't know. She's got names for them all.
Well, you know,
here's a fizzy fuzz. I don't know. She's got all these different names. It is wonderful. My daughter and I sat for about a half an hour just listening to Alexa fart.
Thank you, Jeff Bezos. You know, the things you do, it's the little things in life, Phil.
It is, and I got to tell you, I know that my opinion of cool doesn't matter to anyone except me, but Alexa has gone way up in cool to me.
Yeah, she is pretty cool. You know, I prefer Google, though, so I'm going to go home and figure out if Google can fart.
If Google can't fart, Google better get on the stick.
Yeah, for real. Come on, Google guy. We don't know your name. Get on it. All right. Well, we want to thank you guys for listening to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil today, where we learned that Alexa can fart.
Alexa can fart.
Did you know that Phil can fart too?
I'm not doing it.
Okay, good. I'm so proud of you. Anyway, we want to thank you for joining us with Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I'm Phil.
You can get to know, well, you can let us know if you like the show. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please send those over to secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
Or
secondbreakfast777@gmail.com. Or lucas@eastwoodtulsa.com. phil@eastwoodtulsa.com. If you have any complaints, please, please send those over to gordon@eastwoodtulsa.com.
I'm not sure that's a thing anymore.
It is for two more weeks.
Two more weeks. He
anyway,
still works here.
We love you guys. We're glad you've chosen to listen. You will hear us again next week. Thank you.
And speaking of hearing, right now you're about to hear another clip from one of our listeners.
No, hi, my name is Mike. My favorite breakfast, eggs over easy, bacon, and pancakes.
Nice. Hey, what's your favorite thing for Big Baby Rolls and Donuts today?
Oh, that sausage roll.
Yeah.
And that was good.
If that was you,
let us know.
Send us.
We want to award you. We want to give you a sticker. We want to give you a sticker that says, "Love and Pancakes." Phil, do you have any final words?
Love and Pancakes.
Hey! I was going to make a really cool rap, but the bass won't drop, so I can't find a beat.
No bass drop.
No bass drop for Lucas.
Out. Just a fade out. Wait a minute.
Yeah, here we go. Living in the future, we don't know how to go. Looking for Christ everywhere that we go. Want to make him known, and we want to know him better than we know ourselves, so we can see everything that he does, and we can see him working in your life and making you new, yo. Don't believe in plagiarism. We don't know what that means, except for it's wrong. It's heresy. Don't believe in it. Burn it at the stake like they did to him. Yeah.